Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. Before our first half hour ends, you may consider our opening guest TV's new Uber series maker. Quentin Lee is that guest, and he joins me next. We have a new musical attraction to find through smart TV connected devices to highlight later this hour. Real Music Television is commercial free and features performances. More ahead from President and Chief Executive Officer David Pick. Also in play, Central New York and TV again, LeBron's ABC Court, and our classic trivia question of the week. Hey, everyone, I'm Simon Applebaum, simulcasting live from New York on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and TuneIn Radio, and present on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. This just in, tomorrow will be televised, brought to you by Audible.com, the leading provider of spoken audio entertainment and information that will transform the way you hear the world. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a free book and more when you sign up for a 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/televised. More details later in the program. Great to have you with us on this Friday afternoon for the program all about TV's current and future. 86 degrees at the top of the hour. I think we have a lot of future coming your way over the next hour or so, and we invite you to be interactive with us. All it takes, a phone call from you. So pick up the phone, dial in, and use this number, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. That number is good anyway. You're catching us across the country, around the globe, here on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and TuneIn Radio. And we've got a chat room in business. It's SimonApple04 by name, and you can find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. While the phone is on the air, you can connect others by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon, your Blog Talk Speaker, TuneIn screen. Follow the instructions. Other people can be live with you and with us. Quentin Lee will be aboard from Los Angeles after these news notes. We reported on Monday that the earliest time TV production can resume throughout New York City is the week of July 20th. That's when New York City could reach phase 4 of its multi-phase return campaign, now in phase 2. Now, that is not the case for Central New York and key cities like Syracuse, Rochester, and Utica. That landmass is in phase 4 today, so TV parts can start or restart, provided they meet new state-approved safety guidelines. Meanwhile, authorities in Canada are expected to greenlight resumption of TV work in Vancouver next week, and that is home base for a big chunk of the CW's lineup and other TV shows as well, from Netflix and others. LeBron James is directing future scripted content ventures from his Spring Hill Entertainment Company through ABC Studios. His new development deal there runs through 2022. Spring Hill's latest TV effort earlier this year was the Madam C.J. Walker miniseries for Netflix. Now some quickies. Apple TV Plus will play Losing Alice, an 8-episode noir drama produced in Israel. Fremantle and True Detective executive producer Richard Brown are teaming to organize a miniseries on British Prime Minister Boris Johnson and his close call with the coronavirus pandemic a few months ago. Popular video game Disco Elysium has a TV series version under review. Nickelodeon will return to the game show scene July 11th with Unfiltered, formerly known as Game Face. Jay Farrow, formerly of Saturday Night Live, will host. And ABC appears ready to resume taping of its daily soap opera General Hospital in Los Angeles by mid-July. And that is news notes for today. Throughout TV history, there's been many a prolific TV series maker. In the 1950s, there was the husband and wife team at the time of Lucille Ball and Des Darnais with Desilu. There was Dick Powell forming Four Star Studios, which did many a great Western and TV series. There was Frederick Ziv, the man that put together Highway Patrol and Sea Hunt and many other syndicated series for the 50s and into some of the 60s. Quinn Martin was a protege of Ziv, and he later went on to do such shows as The Fugitive, The FBI, Barnaby Jonestown, a whole bunch of shows in the 60s and 70s. Oh, yeah, a little thing called The Untouchables, too. And there was Alan Spelling, a protege of Powell, when he did Dick Powell's Zane Grey Theater, who later went on to do Charlie's Angels, The Love Boat, Fantasy Island, Family, and a great movie for HBO called And the Band Played On, one of the first to tackle with the AIDS epidemic. Well, here we are, and we've got plenty of Uber series makers, as the terminology might say today. People like, well, Dick Wolf, and Shonda Rhimes, and Kenya Barris, and Ryan Murphy, and Greg Berlanti. We've got 20 series either in the works or on the air right now. And people who want to be in that boat, like Gina Rodriguez and America Ferrari. Well, today, we're going to introduce you to somebody who just might be in that boat. Believe it or not, he's already working on 3 television series. He's had a series already on Hulu, a series currently on Tubi. He's just won a very interesting award from a foundation honoring the great Star Trek creator Gene Roddenberry. And he's working on a website that may end up being the Netflix for Asian American television. Joining us live from Los Angeles, Quentin Lee. Hello, Quentin.
Hi, Simon. How's it going? Hi, everybody.
Very fine, thank you. And yes, everybody gets your greeting. Quinn, is that your goal in life? You want to be the next Uber producer of television?
Well, I hope so. Actually, I'm more of a feature filmmaker, and I started dabbling in television with Comedy Invasion, which got sold to Hulu as a Hulu exclusive, and then also Brash Girls Club. Actually, it was originally supposed to be a feature, but then my distributor decided to cut it up into into a limited series and put it on Tubi. So, and then I just started talking to people, and we started coming up with a serious idea. And now I'm actually producing and shooting a web series called Co-Misery, and you can watch it on Facebook. It's basically a comedic sci-fi series about a web series about a group of Asian American friends who are dealing with COVID at the same time. One of them thinks that he basically come back from the future to try to save the human race from an alien virus. And it's streaming on Facebook, and you can go check that out on comisery.tv or hashtag comiserytv. So a lot of things are happening. Then I have two series in development. One is called Son of Smiley. It's a Canadian series, kind of like Fresh Off the Boat meets with a psychoanalytic angle to it. And it's going to be attached to star in it. It's Edison Chen, a very famous Asian megastar. And Nadia Hata and Steph Song. That's really a Canadian series. And I also have a kind of like an Airbnb TV series in development for the U.S. Called HollywoodShare.tv. And it's basically about an Airbnb host basically renting out her room to all different kind of personalities all over the world. And that series we have attached Shannon Elizabeth from American Pie to be the star, the lead. And we also have Mindy Cohn from Facts of Life, and also an up-and-coming stand-up comedian called Samson McCormick to play the sort of gay best friend role. So a lot of things are happening. It's very exciting.
The Facebook series, is that going to go on Facebook Watch as well? Because Facebook Watch is available on smart TV sets and smart devices, so it could have a bigger audience.
Yeah, it's pretty much on Facebook Watch, I think. But I think you have to search for it. But it's sort of linked. It's basically we're putting that out through AsianAmericanMovies.com, the Facebook page. So we can search for that. But basically, you go to comisery.tv. It will push you to the page where the web series is being broadcast.
I want to go back to AsianAmericanMovies.com because that could be maybe your most important project yet. But let's go back a little bit. What inspired you, Quentin, to plunge into the world of TV making?
Really, I think a lot is just the whole streaming technology, where I think back in the days, I think I stopped watching television when I was 18 when I went to college because I didn't have a television set. So I had this kind of disconnect with the television world until basically, you know, Netflix and Hulu, where, you know, most of the series could be, I can basically binge like, you know, a whole season in basically 2 days. That's when I started, you know, developing this new taste and a new taste for television and also this new exciting kind of appetite to create television works where I think the watching habits of television has changed so much by the streaming services. And I think that's very exciting. And that's kind of like also how the AsianAmericanMovies.com idea came about was that, you know, it's so hard to find Asian American movies and television shows and whatever series. So I want to create a platform so I could at least put out, you know, the things that I've made along with other things that, you know, that I made independently that it's very hard to find for basically the world to see.
Since you brought it up, what are some of the highlights that people can find on AsianAmericanMovies.com? What are some of the original movies and original series?
Actually right now it's just mostly a collection of most of the movies I've made that have actually, you know, played at like Netflix or Hulu. It's now kind of they're off, so I'm putting them back onto the platform, and we're also you're kind of acquiring like other works from like Asian American filmmakers, including short films. So it's really a diverse slate of things and not necessarily just kind of like, you know, traditional television content, but it's really short films, documentaries, features, and all by Asian American filmmakers.
How are you doing, by the way, trying to get other Asian Americans to be on your site? What's the process going in terms of making contacts and encouraging people to side with you?
Well, originally, actually, the platform before AsianAmericanMovies.com was called Chopso, and we started 2 years ago, and we had about 500 hours of content from podcasts to feature films to documentaries to web series to all kinds of things. But it's a bit of a – because I think nobody knows what Chopso is, and it's – you know, we have, like, almost 500 hours of content, and I think that's too much content on it that it's not as curated as I wanted it to be. So now I'm actually going back and sort of like transforming transforming Chopso into AsianAmericanMovies.com, where we'll have much more curated content, where we have more premium content on there, basically. But it's going well.
We are speaking with TV series Ubermaker Quinn Lee, who is also involved with this website. We're going to talk more about whether it's going to be going into being a smart TV service, maybe on your television set, in a few moments. Quinn Lee is joining us live from Los Angeles this half hour on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Simon Alba with you live from New York. Delighted to have you aboard on this Friday afternoon of June 2020. If you have a question or comment for Quinn, don't be shy. Make your move, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, Simon Apple 04 by name. Next week, we'll be coming your way at this very hour, both Monday and Thursday. On Monday, we're devoting the entire program to winners of this week's Series Fest 2020 Independent Pilot Competition out in Denver. On the first half, you'll meet the creator of the drama winner, Story of You. And then we'll have the trio of people behind the comedy pilot winner, Everyone Together. That's on Monday's show. And then coming up on Thursday, that's my Thursday, not Friday, as we normally do, we'll have the executive producer of the brand new USA Network series, Cannonball, with that man from the WWE, The Miz, Bernie Sheffer, will be with us. That's Bernie Sheffer from Cannonball, which made a special screening Monday night on NBC. He'll join us Thursday at our regular time, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Quinn, what is the outlook for this website becoming a smart TV service? That'll be available on whether it's smart TVs from Samsung, LG, Vizio, devices like Roku, Apple TV, and so forth.
Well, I'm not thinking that the smart TV is actually going to be our market, just because I think that's so many premium services, streaming services competing in that sort of like arena. So we're really trying to focus on as a company for mobile content. So you can get us basically on iOS or also on Android devices. Why did I think about that? Was because I remember I was working in China on a feature film in China back, I would say 2005, 2006, and I would go to work on the subway in China, in Beijing. And every time I ride the subway, I just see like all these people watching their own cell phones. They're watching TV programs. They're watching like, you know, basically Chinese TV programs on their cell phones. And I thought, wow, that's actually really great because, you know, people could be watching so much content on their cell phones and on the tablets when they are actually commuting rather than just having a traditional kind of TV set. And I find that having a traditional TV set, a smart TV set, is a bit limiting because you're really stuck to watching it. You can't carry it around. And there's something really kind of powerful about people being able to watch content just on the cell phone and the tablet. And so that's why for AsianAmericanMovies.com, I've decided to just only gear towards smartphones and smart devices and basically turn it into more a mobile content driven company.
Mm-hmm. All right, we'll see what happens. You never know. Good for now, and we'll see what happens. But let's go back to the series you currently have on. How did you get your first series on Hulu?
It was actually, I was working with a distributor called, this distributor called Viva Pictures and my partner co-financed Comedy Invasion together. So it's 50% stake kind of thing. And then they actually sold it to Hulu, as a Hulu exclusive in 2018. And I think it was around May of, or maybe November of 2018. I couldn't remember, but yeah, it was mostly an acquisition kind of thing. But I think it got a lot of feedback. And so now the license has expired and now it's, We're on, I think we're on Amazon Prime. Actually, we're on Tubi. I'm not really sure. But they're on, it's on some streaming platform right now. And we're looking forward to maybe making Comedy Invasion basically season two.
And the other program that did get on Tubi, you know, Tubi so far is not taking a lot of original content. And they're not commissioning a lot, as far as I understand. They had their, by the way, the new front presentation here in New York earlier this week. You got the sense that they may do a little original here, a little original there, maybe in the area of anime programming or animation programming. How did you get your second series on Tubi?
Also through my distributor, Viva Pictures. So I shot that series basically as a feature called Brash Girls Club. And so basically, it's basically three diverse female comedians each doing a 30-minute set. And then the distributor saw it, and she said, hey, you know what? How do you feel about cutting it into like three 30-minute segments and make it a limited TV series? And we put it on Tubi. And I think, oh, okay, well, because usually, like, you know, if you're a feature filmmaker, you really want to just, you know, people see that film the way it is. But because of this whole, you know, explosion of streaming services, I realized that, yeah, sometimes you have, as a filmmaker, you have to be flexible about, you know, how people watch your content, you know, be it, people watching it, you know, just really on the cell phone with the headsets on the train to work or just, you know, just actually on a regular TV set. So we just basically cut it up and turned it into a limited TV series, and we put it up on Tubi. And I actually just finished shooting another stand-up comedy TV feature called Brash Boys Club, which is basically it's a little bit of a sequel of Brash Girls Club, but it's basically diverse gay male comedians, each doing a 30-minute set, and that is coming out in September from Comedy Dynamics. And what I think is about exciting about this time is that, you know, because of this this sort of like, you know, explosion of internet technology and streaming services. Basically, it's hard to say what is film and what is TV anymore because everything is digital. You know, because back in the days, we shoot film on film and we shoot like TV on tape, right? And once the digital revolution sort of took over, we're shooting film with a digital camera and we're shooting TV series with a digital camera. And TV series have become more film-like. For example, you know, Stranger Things, you know, like a lot of Netflix series are very film-like. They're cinematic-like. At the same time, they still retain that kind of long-form TV series quality. Versus back in the 70s, TV is considered less prestigious than film, right? So I think this digital revolution really brings, you know, both the genre of television and film, short film, and, you know, all these documentaries, all these things got brought together. I think it's a really exciting time. It's a golden age of media, I would say.
The three series that you are currently producing or developing, would you like to see them on a service like Netflix or Hulu or Amazon or Topic? You know, some of the key CBS All Access, Crackle, you know, any of the key, or even the mega programming service like Apple TV Plus, Disney Plus, Peacock and HBO Max?
Oh, obviously, you know, I mean, would love to, you know, I'd probably sell it to whoever that pays the highest price, and that's basically, you know, what's going to happen. But with the Canadian series, Son of Smiley, it's going to have to go through, because it's considered Canadian content, so we basically have to hire Canadian actors, and I'm Canadian also. So I'm Canadian and American. But that series will be more. We're working with a Canadian network up there, and then the international rights will hopefully go to one of the streaming platforms, and we'll still have to figure that out. But with the U.S. television series, we're just wide open. So I'd love to see it, you know, to whoever that pays the highest price for the series, and let us make it.
You are hearing Quinn Lee. He is really out to be a major TV entrepreneur in the style of people like Quinn Martin, Greg Berlanti, Shonda Rhimes, Kenya Barris, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And you're hearing him live on Tomorrow Be Televised this half hour, live from Los Angeles. And Simon Applebaum, that's yours truly, with you from New York, 86 degrees at the top of the hour. We have more time a little bit this half hour with Quentin. So be part of the program. Give him a call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. And before the end of the half hour, stay tuned. We have our classic trivia question of the week. And if you're first with the correct answer, you can win the best-selling book, a very English stand-up by John Preston that inspired the award-winning miniseries last year, starring Hugh Grant. So stay tuned. We'll have that coming your way right after we conclude this interview. Quentin, you were honored recently with a special award from the foundation that was named after the great, also an Uber entrepreneur, by the way, I might add, in television, Gene Roddenberry, the creator of Star Trek. Talk about that and how you're going to use that that award with your work.
Well, I was just really surprised that I won the award. So basically, it's the award's called the Roddenberry Impact Awards. So basically, it's the first year Roddenberry Foundation is doing this, and so they're giving out $100,000 and basically 10,000 each to a kind of like, you know, upstart TV creator to create something, you know. So so I applied, I'd say a month ago, and then a month later I got this email, congratulations. So usually I get congratulations email. I thought it's junk mail. So I was about to delete the email, and then it turned out, oh, you won this award. And that's really great because the award is really for each TV creator to develop a new original series idea. And we submitted an idea called Demos. So basically it's about basically five diverse characters in five different five continents, each playing an online game called Demos. And basically the goal of the game is to create the best democracy in the world. And it's basically, we haven't decided it's going to be a comedy or it's going to be like a half hour comedy or like a serious drama or a 60 minute drama. But basically it's about how each character playing this online game affects their kind of daily life. You know, so for example, someone could be in China, who lives under, you know, an authoritarian government and who doesn't have democracy. And it's about them playing a game that could give them idea of how to begin democracy in their own country. So that's, I think, is a really kind of cool idea. And it's actually being developed by my co-creator, Elizabeth Wilson. She's my professor, actually, from Yale about 30 years ago. She taught me a class called Intellectuals. And she since then became a human rights lawyer. And she works on basically, you know, global human rights. So we're partnering them to do this, to co-write this series called Demos. And I think it's going to be really different and really going to be groundbreaking, just because I think that it's so hard for, and it, just in general, politics is so sensitive. And I think that very few entertainment, I mean, that I don't think that any shows that really deal explicitly with politics. I mean, they do it with politics, but usually it's not. But the thing is, like, we want to present kind of like a diverse examination of, you know, how democracy works, and but in a fun and fictitious way. So hopefully that would encourage people to think about, you know, how democracy is necessary in the world.
Well, this could be a really exciting series. And again, congratulations, Quinn, to you and to all the other winners of the Roddenberry Impact Awards. By the way, one of the other winners was someone we had on this very program about 5 years ago when we were simulcast on television through Brooklyn Independent Media locally. That woman's name is Valerie Cho. She was on our show live in person. She's this company called Thirsty Tiger Television. Yeah.
Yeah, it's funny because I knew Valerie, and actually I was on a cooking show that she did, I would say, almost like 5-6 years ago. And yeah, I think she's definitely like, you know, a force of nature. And I think her project is called Be Cool to Asians. I don't know exactly what it's about, but she did also win the Roddenberry Impact Award also. So congratulations to Valerie.
Absolutely. And at the time we had her, she was working with a wonderful performance artist on the West Coast, Christina Wong, doing a pilot called The Wong Way, which is a satire for the sketch comedy show. And Christina's gone on to do some web series, one of which which was featured at the Asian Cinevision International Film Festival, which is now a TV festival also last year. And we had her on the program last year, too. And I hope that at some point she does a series for television. She's a wonderful person. By the way, if any of the other Roddenberry Impact Award people are working on television projects, let us know. We'd love to have you come on the program. Glenn, before you
and
go,
I love Christina,
what's your thinking? Go ahead.
So I was just saying that I love Christina Wong because we actually went to school together, believe it or not. So I was in film school at UCLA as a graduate student. She was an undergraduate, and we've known each other since for 17 years. So, and I've always like been so amazed that she's creating such kind of like groundbreaking and interesting both theater work and also some kind of short films and web series. So kudos to her. Kudos to Christina.
Yeah, absolutely. Dynamite person. And again, if any of the other Roddenberry Impact wins are working on TV projects, let us know. We'd love to have you come on the program. Quinn, before you go, what's your thoughts about where Asian Americans stand in television? We're obviously seeing more out of the medium. You now have people like Angela Kang, who's heading The Walking Dead. CW is going to have a revival of Kung Fu with Christina Kim and an Asian cast and production team doing it with Warner Brothers. John Chu has a deal. We are seeing some Asian Americans get program development deals with Netflix or Hulu or CBS All Access, both doing live-action animated shows. What's your sense about where we're at and, more importantly, where we are going with the role Asian Americans can play in developing television?
To be honest, I think I'm really optimistic about this time because when I started film school in 1993, it's almost impossible to even think about writing a feature film or creating a TV series with an Asian American protagonist. Literally, I would write a script, say, hey, this is the kind of Asian American feature film, and you send it to an executive or anyone who, wants to finance anything, and it's just like radio silence. So, but it's obviously the world has changed a lot and become much more diverse in the past 5 to 10 years, whether not only just with Asian American, but with, African American, with Latino American, with, LGBTQ, and I think this is a really exciting time. I think but at the same time, I feel like we're still not doing enough. We're still not diversifying enough, but hopefully with all of our efforts, from anyone from John Chu to me to Christina Wong, we're all helping to diversify, Hollywood a little bit more.
Mm-hmm. And that also goes for the person who won the award this year, the Oscar for Parasite, which is becoming an HBO miniseries in the near future, who also put together Snowpiercer, which is one of the top new series on cable TV on TNT. Incidentally, Marty Adelstein from Tomorrow Studios, who is the executive producer with the Snowpiercer people, was on our series about a month ago. You can catch that episode at blogtalkradio.com/televised. He's also working on a live-action version of Cowboy Bebop, and he's very committed to getting diversity on in a whole batch of ways. If you want to know more about Quentin's work, and you want to see for yourself his website, here it is, AsianAmericanMovies.com. It's AsianAmericanMovies.com. Soon it will be available on mobile, and maybe down the road it will be on smart TV sets and smart devices. Personally, I hope so. I think it's a fantastic idea for a site and another way for Asian Americans, I think, to get into the TV medium and get into it big. Quinn Lee, thank you very, very much for coming on. Congratulations again on the Roddenberry Impact Award. If any of your shows you're working on do become a TV series, we'd love to have you back. And bring the cats along.
Thank you
too.
So much, Simon.
You're right, well, Quinn. Have a super weekend.
Thank you. Take care, guys.
Quinn Lee, joining us live from Los Angeles. And once again, the website is www.AsianAmericanMovies.com. Check it out. It may end up being the Netflix of Asian American TV making. We will see. Now, time for our classic trivia question of the week. And if you're first with the correct answer, you can win A Very English Scandal by John Preston. Here's the question. We've had it for the last 2 weeks or so. Who played Superboy on the 1980s syndicated Superboy television series? Who played Superboy on the Superboy 1980s syndicated television series? If you know the answer, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. It's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Don't forget to enclose your name and where you're emailing from. If you're first with the correct answer, you win. If you missed the question a moment ago, we'll try to repeat it before the end of the program. If not, we'll post it first thing tomorrow morning on my Facebook page, Simon Applebaum, and on my Twitter feed at UBC Simon TWBT. That's UBC Simon TWBT. Remember, in order to win, you got to be in. So this is your last chance, by the way, on our show to get in. And no matter what, we'll have a new question for you on Monday's program. But let's see if we get a winner before the end of the weekend, if not before the end of today. Once again, SimonApple04@yahoo.com. Play in for the win today and all the very best. More tomorrow to tell. I'm Connie Wade with some fine words from our wonderful sponsor at Audible.com. If you're a Hunger Games fan, well, Suzanne Collins, the writer of The Hunger Games, has a brand new audiobook out, and you can get it right now with a one-month trial at Audible.com. It's called The Ballad of Songbirds and Snakes. And Audible.com is where you can get that book. And right now you can get it free with a one-month trial. You know, Audible.com is the leading provider of spoken digital audio entertainment, information, and inspiration. Over 200,000 titles to choose from. You listen them on any device, including whatever you're hearing us on right now at Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, TuneIn Radio, or iHeart Radio. Just sign up at audibletrial.com / televised. You get one free audiobook, 1 month trial of the service, and for a limited time only, you get additional wellness material, which we all could use in these hopefully post-pandemic days. Plus, you get great customer service from Audible's parent, Amazon.com. And don't forget, Audible.com makes a great gift. We've got the 4th July holiday weekend coming up, so there's still time to maybe give it as a gift for you or someone you love. Makes a wonderful time. So don't forget that Audible.com can help you transform the way you hear the world. For that free audio book, 1 month trial, audibletrial.com / tellers. Incidentally, that one free audio book will also come from the growing catalog of Audible Originals. That's everything from original audio productions, best of Broadway, off-Broadway, and regional theater, and great one-woman and one-man performances. For all the information, audibletrial.com. Coming up in our next half hour, we've got a brand new player in the world of music television through smart TV sets and smart devices, and we've got the person that runs that service. The head of Real Music TV, David Pick, joins us live from Knoxville, Tennessee, after we pause at the bottom of the hour for web identification. This is www.blogtalkradio, Spreaker, and TuneIn Radio. Together, reach over 45 million listeners around the world every month and growing. And don't forget, TuneIn Radio is your home 24/7 for the Coronavirus News Channel. Get the latest on the pandemic from all around the world, plus original features and podcasts. That's the Coronavirus News Channel 24/7. Keep in touch at TuneIn Radio at TuneIn.com. Welcome back to the second half of Smart We Tell Live for this Friday afternoon of June 2020. Simon Applebaum with you live from New York, 86 degrees, top of the hour. Another great guest coming your way, and we invite you to be in the program, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04. But anyway, we welcome Rick Webb, our friend from Philadelphia, into the room. Since the start of this year, we have seen a big spike in new programming services that are music-oriented for multicast and for television on smart TV sets and smart TV devices, services like LiveX Live, Lupe, Circle, which was we had our first guest from at the start of the year. First, it was available on multicast channels and a separate service, Video On Demand, for smart TV sets and smart devices. And now we have another new music service to tell you about. It's called Real Music TV. It's all about music performance and more. It's long form, it's commercial free, and it's available by subscription. Currently, it is running on smart TV devices such as Amazon Fire TV, Roku, and Apple TV. Joining us live from Knoxville, Tennessee, in an Internet Radio exclusive, President and Chief Executive Officer David Pick. David, pleasure to have you here.
Thank you, Simon. It's a pleasure to be here, and hello to you. Good afternoon to your audiences.
Pleasure. What's
been the early reaction to Real Music?
Sorry, can you repeat that? Absolutely, David. What's been the early reaction to Real Music TV?
Well,
how are you doing with getting subscribers, and what are they saying about your service?
Our reaction so far has been tremendous from within the music industry itself, because we really have been talking to the industry for the past 2 years about our plans. And now that we've launched literally very recently, they've been full of praise for what we're doing. And I suppose the big question is, why hasn't this been done before? I mean, we all know, or many of us know, what it was like when we could go to the likes of MTV, VH1 and others to discover quality talent, new emerging talent, and so on. And in a way, there's been nothing comparable to that since those huge TV channels started to play less and less music. And so we believe that this is an important gap that we're able to fill. The record labels and publishers and so on, and particularly the artists and their publicists and their managers, have responded at last. There's going to be a platform for our talent to be able to reach a global audience.
We know, David, that there is a lot of production of music videos out there, and there are now so many music video services all over the place. Vivo, for example, which had a major presentation this week at the Digital Content New Fronts. They're doing very well in terms of getting advertisers, doing very well getting the key top talent on there, top music videos on there. Your project deals with long-form programming, music performance, and other similar things. How big a marketplace is there for music performance programming? How much content is out there for you to shape into a service?
Well, we are essentially a producer of our own content. So we are filming those performances, whether they're part of our Live With series, where we take an artist or a band into the studio for a very intimate half-hour session, including an interview, or whether we're filming them performing in a venue, you know, we used to be with an audience, of course. And so we're creating this ourselves in these days where there's an uncertain future for studios and for artist tours and for, of course, venues. I think we're going to be providing an important source for the dedicated music enthusiast to discover what, you know, some of the more established artists are doing, as well as discovering emerging talent that very much deserves a platform to reach their potential audience.
How has it been like to break through to the music industry? Who are some of the artists that you are working with?
Well, there are a number, of course. If you take a look at realmusictv.com, you'll see the spectrum of talent that we've started to film. There are some substantial names that have come into the studio, like Lindsay L and Tanya Tucker and Michael Ray, Kit Moore, and so on. And indeed, other names like Charles Esten. We've brought them into studio to talk about the music that's meant a lot in their lives, that may have shaped their musical interest, other aspects of their career. And then we've been filming a range of talent from the, you know, the legend that is Jim Lauderdale, through to a very exciting new band here in Nashville called The Criticals. So it's a spectrum of music, and of course one of the key features of Real Music TV is that we are genre agnostic. So although some people might still think of Nashville as country music city, I was attracted to come here because it's now, for me, the center of the music world. It's music city, literally. It doesn't mean to say we're only going to be producing programming here. We have plans to be filming in several cities around the U.S. in order to reflect that multi-genre aspect of our programming, and also back in London. As you can tell from my accent, I'm not exactly local.
Now, when you put it on the service, when people find it on their smart TV set devices and soon smart TV sets, how does it look? Does it look like an HBO where you have this program happens here, this program happens after that, this, where you mix the genres up, or do you do it in sort of programming blocks where, let's say, Monday night is an all-pop night, Tuesday is all bluegrass or country music, Wednesday is world music, Thursday is Latino, and so forth?
No, that I think what you're describing approximates a sort of linear TV service, whereas I'd like to think, perhaps immodestly, that the way in which you navigate our service is closer to what you find on Netflix or Amazon Prime or Disney. So we have created horizontal program series that you can research, you know, you can search, and that's closer to what I think the public are now becoming accustomed to in a purely video on demand service.
Mm-hmm. We are speaking with David Peck. He is the president chief executive officer of one of the newest services available on smart TV devices, soon on smart TV sets. It's called Real Music TV. It's about music performance and more. And David joins us live from Knoxville, Tennessee, this half hour on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Simon Abbott with you live from New York. Delighted to have you with us for the program all about TV's current and future. Very future-minded on today's program, and we like it that way. And we like it even better when you're involved. So give us a call, 646 646- 652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Rick Webb from Philadelphia already in the room. Don't forget, next week we come your way Monday and Thursday at this very hour. On Monday, we'll feature at least two of the big winners from 35th 2020 Wonderful Interdependent Pilot Competition. In the first half hour, we will have the dramatic winner, The Story of You, and then we'll have the comedy winner called Everyone Together. We also are going to try to get the unscripted winner for the first time on our program. And then on Thursday, we'll have Bernie Schaefer. He's one of the executive producers of Cannonball, the brand-new water sports obstacle course series hosted by none other than the WWE personality, The Miz. And by the way, this Monday night, NBC will present a special sneak preview of Cannonball, which premieres in July. So watch the show, and then tune us in on Thursday to hear Bernie Schaefer, the executive producer, talk about how it was made. Cannonball, again, Monday night on NBC, and then starts its run in July on the USA Network. David, the programming is commercial-free. What is the subscription price that people have to buy the service?
It's just $2.99 per month. Or $24.99 for a whole year of programming. I mean, at the moment, I would say that we've got something in the order of 50 to 60 hours of programming on there at the moment. We had originally intended to launch our service in September, but because of the pandemic, we brought our launch forward. And we will be adding new content pretty much every week now. Just in the past few days, earlier this week, we actually produced 12 new shows here in Nashville, and they will find their way onto the platform within the next few weeks. But there are several others in the pipeline. So, you know, that there's quite an array and range of content for what we believe is a very affordable price.
And I was reading your site earlier today, and I saw two very interesting formats that you are doing beyond the just playing music. I should say playing music performance, music interview. One is involving a jukebox format. Explain that.
Our series, thank you for asking that, son. Our series is called Jukebox Journey. We have selected a number of wonderful presenters and asked them to delve into their memories and so on of specific artists. So you'll find a program, you know, focused on David Bowie and his career, Fleetwood Mac, Dolly Parton, ELO, and so on. And so we're having those presenters take us, if you like, on a journey through the careers of those iconic artists, and doing so via a small selection of their music videos.
Mm-hmm. And then there's another format that is different as well. I'm not sure the title, but I saw it below in the Real Music website. It's below the Jukebox Journey format.
Okay. Thank you. You're talking about Passion Plays.
Yes.
I mean, you'll appreciate we like playing on words. That, again, is different because these are very carefully curated playlists around a particular theme. You know, whether it's pop, punk, heavy metal, or whatever. And again, what we wanted to do was to offer, as I say, particularly carefully curated music videos rather than just a mashup, where or anything that's, you know, dictated by algorithms, as so much is these days. These playlists are back-to-back music videos, but they've been curated in such a way that we think they're rather interesting, and they can be dipped in and dipped out as the viewer chooses, as indeed they can do throughout the platform. So if you're watching a live with performance in the studio, you can, if you wish, on the platform, choose to watch video for just one song. So if you haven't got time, you know, half an hour or so to watch the entire show back to front, you know, from the beginning to the end, you can select individual songs. And that's, if you like, our bringing on board the fact that some people, obviously, if they're waiting for an appointment or whatever, don't have the time to do more. They're on their smartphone, and this gives them a chance to enjoy some excellent performances.
Last Friday, Apple TV Plus launched a documentary called Dads. It was put together by Bryce Howard, the eldest daughter of actor, entrepreneur, filmmaker Ron Howard, the Oscar winner, and, of course, head of Imagine Television. And I bring it up because it was funded by an advertiser. It was funded by Unilever, the people behind Dove's Men Plus hair care products. And the idea is it's all about fatherhood. And you see it from the standpoint of both celebrities like Jimmy Kimmel, Jimmy Fallon, Will Smith, as well as from general folk. Have you thought about, as you go forward with Real Music, taking branded content from, since your service is commercial free, taking branded content from an advertiser like a Unilever or like a Ford or another major advertiser?
Oh, yes. I mean, I think we'd be very happy to look at that. I have had an opportunity to talk to all sorts of people who said, oh, well, this is wonderful, David. Would you be interested in, quotes, acquiring additional content? Because there's an awful lot out there. And the criteria for us is that it fits within our brand values and that the quality meets our standards. The quality for us is absolutely key. As you've alluded to all sorts of other services that are out there. And you know, I mentioned curation already, but, you know, quality is essential for us. When we, I think hopefully your audience will delve into this. It's 7 days free, by the way, before you have to pay anything. So you can experience it and see whether you like it. There is, for us, an important standard in terms of the number of cameras that we deploy for any kind of production, even where you've got, you know, a simple introducer or presenter for Jukebox Journey or a talking celebrity for my music, for example, or artist for my music. You know, there are multiple cameras involved in order to give the audience the experience of the intimacy, perhaps of the studio in the case of Live With, or being in a venue as if they're a member of the audience for Live At, as if they're on stage. I mean, we like to think we're at least as good as, if you like, being there in the way that we produce our programming. And I think that's something that's extremely important for being able to, you know, reflect the craft of making music, which is very much a part of our mission.
And that's the thing, David. I mentioned earlier the Digital Content New Fronts, which was in New York here virtually all week long. One of the big themes, starting with Hulu and running all week long, was there is this very exciting movement by advertisers for branded content. Some people think of branded content as, well, you must show the product on the air. The product must be in a scripted show. It must be somewhere so the character can use it. I mentioned Dad because it's an example where while Unilever funded the show and their ad agency put it together, it doesn't show people using Dove hair care products for men. It's not about, you know, how Dove will clean your skin, you know, while you're washed kind of thing. It was more the fact that it had values that Unilever wanted to demonstrate that it was behind. And we're now hearing that there are companies like Hulu and others that want to launch branded content divisions that would create animated shows, scripted shows, unscripted shows, short films, short subjects that, again, would not involve the advertiser in terms of showing a product, but showing a value that they're behind. And it seems like there's a great groundswell of interest in this kind of television or this kind of content making.
Well, of course, Simon, I hope you're right. You know, there's always been a wonderful connection between music and delivering the message of quality within a brand and its products. And clearly what you've just described is, you know, fits into that. We are keen to develop collaborative relationships across the board, whether in the context of the programming that we make or in some cross-marketing opportunities. The latest issue, which has just come out this week, of American Songwriter, we've taken some space in it, and we're offering a discount even on our very low subscription rate for American Songwriter members and vice versa. Those sort of relationships are very important for us in terms of getting our message across, but also, you know, the helping other brands in the not only American Songwriter, which of course is an iconic brand within the music business, but other brands that want to become associated with some exciting new sounds and the whole creative movement that has become extremely difficult as the digital developments have made the music industry particularly that much more complex.
How do you see Real Music TV evolving over the next year, 2, 3, 5 years? What kind of programming do you want to add to the initial core of music performance?
Performance is at its core, but there are many others that we're looking at and would love to look at in the future in terms of program formats. Quasi-documentary programs, for example. As I said perhaps earlier, we're also intending to film in other cities around the U.S. where music is a key feature of their culture and abroad. So what we're looking at doing is bringing Real Music TV literally globally. So within the next couple of months, there will be localized in terms of language versions of Real Music TV in several languages. We've just appointed a company to assist us in taking Real Music TV into Japan. We've got distribution discussions happening in Europe and, of course, in the UK. So I see it developing internationally, reflecting our plans more and more to offer multi-genre music content, and that's where I see it developing in that time, so that we become, if you like, a global destination for really good quality music and the creation of it, both in terms of, you know, the curated videos, but importantly, new performances.
The name of the service is Real Music Television. It is available commercial-free by subscription. And on what smart TV sets and what speed devices can people find the service?
Certainly they'll be able to obtain it through their laptop and their PC, etc., monitor. On TV as well, we're currently on Amazon, on Android, Roku, Apple. And we're examining the potential to be on other platforms as well. But that's where you'll find our app at the moment, and you can download it for free. And as I say, you can test it for 7 days before making any sort of commitment to it. So there's a chance to see an awful lot of the range of our programming while you're doing that.
And if you want to find out more about the service online, here's where you go, realmusictv.com. That's realmusictv, all one phrase, .com. Real Music TV, available again on Apple TV, on Amazon Fire TV, Roku, et cetera, and hopefully it'll be on a smart TV set as well near you down the road. David Peck, the President and Chief Executive Officer of Real Music TV, joining us live from Knoxville, Tennessee, Super City, by the way. Thank you again for joining us. Congratulations on getting your service off the ground, and hopefully it's going to have a great, great long run.
You're very kind. Thank you very much for this opportunity, Simon.
You're very welcome, David. Take care. Enjoy the weekend.
And you too. Thanks a lot.
David Peck, President and Chief Executive of Real Music TV, joining us live, Bill, Tennessee. One of our great guests for being with us, not just today, but all week long here on Smart Retail Live. There are the 3 episodes we're doing this week. And incidentally, if you missed our first episode, which featured our roundtable hour with Mark Berman, Mr. Foaming Insider himself, and Charlie Weiser, my colleague at Media Village, the Media YouTube website, in addition to places like iTunes, Apple TV, the Speaker Podcast app, blogtalkradio.com, and televised. You can also go to the Foaming Insider's website, and you can get a link to the service. Also, Mark every day has an email newsletter he gets out to so many people in the TV industry, and I want to thank Mark for putting a link to the program on his email throughout the week. We really do appreciate it. Anyway, coming up Monday on Tomorrow Be Televised is all about the winners of the Series Fest 2020 Independent Pilot Competition earlier this week from Denver. On the first half hour, we'll have the creator of the drama winner, The Story of You. And on the second half hour, the winners in comedy, Everyone Together. And then next Thursday, not Friday, next Thursday, because of the 4th of Halloween weekend, we'll have as among our guests the executive producer of the new USA Network comedy series with a big water sports twist, Cannonball, hosted by The Miz. Bernie Schaefer will be with us, among other people, too. That's, again, special Thursday episode, July 2nd, at a regular time, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific. If you came in late on today's program, you want to catch up on episode, you missed, go to our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. It's www.blogtalkradio.com/televised. And don't forget, all weekend long, you check out our podcast 24/7 at iTunes, Apple TV, Speaker Podcast app, also at iHeartRadio.com and TuneIn.com. For both of those latter two websites, go to the search bar, put Tomorrow Be Televised, our title in, click, and you get all of our programs. And we'd love to hear from you. What do you think about Quentin Lee and Real Music TV? What do you think about the future of television, where it's at and where it's going? Love to hear and love to share maybe with our listeners. So give us an email, simonapple04@yahoo.com. It's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Remember, that's how you get involved as well in our classic trivia question of the week. One more time with the question. Who played Superboy on the 1980 syndicated Superboy TV series? SimonApple04@yahoo.com. Or you can find me on social media at Facebook at Simon Applebound and on Twitter at UBC Simon TWET. That's UBC Simon TWET. Also, you can find me at Amigos.com. That's where we have my Tomorrow Be Televised and TV video download columns. We have a bunch of columns come out the last couple of days dealing with Vito, dealing with the video content new fronts. I'll be doing more about that over the weekend and hopefully coming out with those next week. That's MediaNotes.com, the media leadership website. And however you communicate with us, whether by social media or by my email, please do get involved. And I do respond, by the way. Why? Because now more than ever, what you say matters. The views expressed here are those of the participants, not necessarily those of Blog Talk Radio and other distributors of this program. Our production associate is Mandolin. Annie Toe is Blog Talk Radio's general manager, with Jay Sonnenberg, head of content. The co-founders of Enterprise, Al Levy, and Bob Sharish. Tomorrow Be Televised was brought to you today by Audible.com and Amazon Division. Remember, Audible transformed the way you hear the world. For a free audiobook, special wellness material, and a one-month trial, it's audiblechild.com/televised. With Tomorrow Be Televised, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for listening. Have a wonderful weekend. Whatever you got to do to get this pandemic out and complete, please do so. Wear that mask, social distancing, et cetera, et cetera, and we'll lift this pandemic sooner than you think. We'll be back on Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, you know where, Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, TuneIn Radio, the IR Radio Podcast Network. Remember, whatever you're up to between now and then, please make it safe and, more than ever, make it great. Until next time, stay well and stay tuned.